verse 18. The blessedness of being broken. Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of broken heart, and saveth such as are of a contrite heart. Psalm 51. Verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Isaiah chapter 66. Verse 2. All those things hath mine hand made, and all these things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is a poor and of a contrite heart. The blessedness of brokenness. Jeremiah chapter 4. The blessedness of brokenness. Jeremiah chapter 4. And verse 3. Jeremiah 4. Verse 3. Thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground. What is fallow ground? Fallow ground is ground that has not been used for at least 1 year. And the Jeremiah says here, if you're going to use that ground to advantage, break it up. The blessedness of broken things. Broken grain. We go to sow grain, we don't put the whole handful in the earth. We break it up. Broken grain. How about the clouds? We thank the Lord that the clouds, which are nothing but water, we thank the Lord that they just don't come down on us. The clouds come down in raindrops, broken clouds, the blessedness of broken. I remember when I was at school, there was a lot of work being done on seeding clouds so as to make the rain fall in drops. To my knowledge, they haven't succeeded yet. Broken clouds give rain. And what about the dew in the morning? The dew doesn't come as a river, as drops. Brokenness means blessing. Turn with me, please, to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. And verse 12. We know the story well. And she, we know who she was, the widow, said, as the Lord God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little spoil in the cruse. And behold, I am gathering 2 sticks. What were those sticks for? Those sticks were to make fire so that she could cook. And why do we cook our food? I don't know how many of you have tried to eat raw food, raw meat. It won't work. We have to cook our food to break down what's in the food. The blessings of brokenness. But you know, after you cook the food, you still have to break it down more. That's why we chew it. And after you chew it and it gets in the intestinal tract, it's still broken down more. And from time to time, you have people that complain of indigestion, failure to break down the food. And they recommend Alka-Seltzer, Pepto-Bismol, and all those other things. The breaking down is important. Brokenness is the source of blessing. Matthew chapter 5, please. The blessedness of brokenness. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 13. The Lord speaking to his disciples, he says, you are the salt of the earth. We, the believers, the salt of the earth. But salt in a slump is not effective. The salt must be in fine grains to be effective. The salt must be broken. And if we are going to be used of the Lord as salt in the earth, we too must be broken. Now, what does salt do? Several things. Salt makes food tasty. Am I right? And again, I say you don't put a clump of salt in the food, you put grains. And we as believers, believe it or not, this world would be much worse than it is if we weren't in it. I know it's bad. And by way of proof of that, when the Lord takes us away, read the Bible and see how things are going to be. If you think it's bad now, it's going to be worse then. The time of the tribulation and the great tribulation. Then the next thing that salt does, salt retards corruption. You say the world is pretty bad. Yes, it is bad. Very bad. It would be worse if it weren't for the presence of believers as salt, grains of salt. Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. I'm having the same trouble with this Bible that I had last Sunday. That static electricity doesn't want to let the pages loosen up, but they persist. That's the enemy's approach to disturbing us when we meet. Chapter 1. We know the story, don't we? Jonah was a servant of the Lord. A prophet of the Lord. But read with me, please, verses 11 and 12. Great storm. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. Jonah said, take me up cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto thee. Oh, look at these last words below. A believer, I know that for my sake this tempest has come upon you. Isn't that terrible? He wasn't acting as Saul. And we do well to examine ourselves. Are we contributing to the corruption that is around? When we walk contrary to the will of God, we help the corruption that is around. Then the next thing about salt. Salt disappears. When you sprinkle salt on your food, you don't see the salt anymore, do you? It disappears. Gospel of John, chapter 3, please. Gospel of John, chapter 3. Verse 30. The salt. Salt disappears. Verse 30 of John chapter 3. He must increase, I must decrease. Oh, there are so many who want prominent places in the world. Even believers. We are to decrease. We are to disappear. To be effective for the Lord. Then there's another thing that salt does. Salt creates thirst. And we as believers, the salt of the earth, when the others see us, they should be thirsty for what we have. Or should I say, for whom we have. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the world. And as they see us. And the Lord tells us that. In John chapter 6, I think it is, when the world sees us and see how we conduct ourselves, they will honor the Lord. We are the salt of the earth, but the salt is of no value unless it is in grains, not in clumps. 2 Corinthians, please, chapter 2. Now, there are a few of you here, you're not accustomed to my method. I turn to scriptures. That's the way I was brought up. That's the way my dad trained me. And I can't give a message unless I turn to scriptures. So bear with me, please. 2 Corinthians, chapter 2. Verses 15 and 16. We are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, to the other the savor of life unto life. How do you get fragrances? Where do you get your perfumes? And the toilet waters? And all of these things that we use to make us smell more favorable. Those fragrances come from flowers and other items that are crushed. The blessings of broken things. The fragrance. I have a little piece here. You smell delightfully fragrant, said the gravel walk to a bed of flowers. We have been tread on, replied the flowers. Does that cause it? Asked the gravel walk. Our natures are different, answered the flowers. Gravel walks become hard when they are trodden on. Flowers become bruised when they are traveled on and give off their odor. And it is only as we are small that we're going to give off the fragrance that the Lord Jesus Christ desires. It is only as we are small that we will have a fragrant effect on our neighbors around. I often wonder in my own neighborhood, what do my neighbors think of me, the little they know of me? I wonder what impression I'm giving them. And you know, beloved, we give an impression wherever we go. The story is told of a brother who came to minister. And he stayed at a sister's home for 1 week. And when the week was up, he packed his luggage. He said, "Well, I thank you, sister, for your kindness. I think I have everything." She said, "You don't have everything." He looked and looked, "What have I left?" She said, "You have left your influence." And as we go around, or you go to a store and shop, you're having an influence. We are leaving an influence. Our neighbors are influenced by us. What influence are we leaving? Are we leaving the odor of fragrance of those that have been made little to the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, the next thing I want to consider is I want to keep within the time here. And we have about 12 minutes left. I'll do my best. Jeremiah chapter 23. Or perhaps Lamentations 1. Lamentations chapter 1. Jeremiah has been known and has been referred to as the weeping prophet. And why did he weep? As he saw the deterioration of Israel, he wept. Lamentations chapter 1, please. Verse 12. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow. And what was his sorrow due to? The condition of Israel. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Verse 36. Matthew 9, verse 36. Again, I'm having trouble with these pages sticking together. Does anybody know an antidote for static electricity? Tell it to me if you know it. Run after the meeting. Verse 36. When he, the Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew 9:36, saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. He was broken. Moved with compassion. We read concerning the Good Samaritan, when he saw that man lying by the wayside, he was moved with compassion. And we were reminded tonight of that tsunami in Asia. And as you see those pictures and read about the occurrences there, the last time I heard, I think they said 80,000 were dead. Brother George says he believes it's going to go up to at least 250,000. It makes you sad, doesn't it? Our hearts go out to those people, full of compassion. How many of them have heard the gospel? How many of them know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? Our hearts are moved with compassion. Over the weekend, a very prominent lady, I never knew her name. But on the Monday New York Post, she made the first page. Very outstanding lady, many contributions, brilliant mind. And you know what I wondered to myself? Where is she? Is she with the Lord? Oh, I feel so sad about if she's not with the Lord. Compassion. Our Savior had compassion. And we should have compassion, a brokenness, as we see the situation in the world. 1 Timothy chapter 2, please. Verses 1 through 4. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for whom? All. God would have all to be saved. We are to pray for all. For kings and for all that in authority. Oh, beloved, do you pray for President Bush? He needs it. Do you pray for his cabinet? They need it. The governors, the rulers at all levels, not only in the United States, but worldwide. How many of us ever prayed for Nasser Arafat? Did you ever pray for him? How many of us ever prayed for Osama bin Laden? Pray for the rulers. How many of us ever prayed for Saddam Hussein? Compassion should characterize us. Broken. We need to be broken. I'm going to get to the end. Last page. What shall we say in conclusion? How shall we conclude these thoughts? Esther chapter 6. We know the story well. In fact, this was referred to just a few weeks ago by our brother visiting us. Esther chapter 6, verse 6. And we're going to read about a man who was not broken. So Haman came in. And the king said unto him, what shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor? Now Haman thought in his heart, to whom would the king delight to do honor more than myself? He wasn't broken, was he? We don't even have to read the rest of the story. He was keenly disappointed. And when you turn to 3rd Epistle of John, you read there of another brother. Oh, I shouldn't say brother. Haman wasn't a brother. But we do read of this man. Diotrephes, 3rd Epistle of John, Verse 19. Wherefore, when I come, I will remember the deeds which he doeth. Verse 9. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence. He wasn't broken. But in Colossians chapter 1, we read that the Lord Jesus Christ should have the preeminence. It's not for me to be preeminent. It's not for me to seek to have a high place, the low place. Brokenness, and the Lord can use us. And as we see immorality all around, abortion, famine, shootings, humanism, drug addiction, social gospel, these things should make us very compassionate. We need to pray for these people. We need to pray for those of the Lord's people working in these lands. That must be very difficult. Working in a foreign land for the Lord, and the government is against you. That's why we are told in Hebrews 13 to pray for the Lord's people wherever they are working for him. I think I will stop here. And we might summarize our thoughts together tonight in this way. Break me. If we are to be a source of blessing, we've got to be broken. We didn't read it. Read Hebrews chapter 12. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He breaks. Not to hurt them, not to harm them. The story is told of a little girl. Her father was a sculptor. And he had this large piece of stone. And he was hammering away and whittling away. And his daughter came up, "Daddy, why are you beating on the stone? Why are you chipping away at the stone?" And Daddy said, "The more I chip away, the more the statue forms." And that's what the Lord does with us. The more he chastises us, the more he disciplines us, that's the better word, that we might be conformed to his image. Break me. Cleanse me. Fill me. Guide me. And then use me. Might we just sing a few verses, or maybe one or two verses. Number 434. More love to thee. Fill me, guide me, use me. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, again we bow in thy presence divine. Again we want to thank thee for who thou art and to thank thee for salvation. We thank thee for the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for thy precious word, whereby we may learn and grow and live for thee. We have considered tonight the need of brokenness, being contrite, humility. May we not have looked at these studies in vain, but seek by thy grace to walk lowly, humbly, and contritely before thee. Dismiss us now with thy blessing, we pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.